Thanks for being with us here this morning on Galesburg Live. I'm Tom Meredith, and our guest in the first hour this morning, Knox County Sheriff David Clegg. Not only busy as our sheriff, he has been appointed, elected the president of the Illinois Sheriff's Association, also had been previously appointed to the State 911 Board, continues with those duties, as well as now being appointed to the Illinois Law Enforcement Training and Standards Board. So, very, very busy person. As we welcome in Knox County Sheriff David Clegg. Good morning, Sheriff. How are you today?
Good morning, Tom. I'm doing good. How about you?
Good. Thanks for coming in with us this morning. Well, elected to a new term last November, and boy, that's got you busy, but so many other things, as we mentioned, going on, and I think we had talked about this a little bit before the election, that you knew if you were reelected as Knox County Sheriff that you would move up the chain in the Illinois Sheriff's Association, and now the president of that organization. Kind of talk about what the Sheriff's Association is and kind of what your duties are as the president of that organization now.
Well, you know, the primary responsibility of the Illinois Sheriffs, which came to be in 1928, so it's been here for 90 years, they're dedicated in supporting the time-honored office of the sheriff in Illinois by upholding each sheriff's rights to perform their sworn duty to serve and protect the citizens. That's their primary function. Off on the side would be that we are very interested in the youth. We provide a scholarship. Each county, and right now is the time where they have forms to fill out, and then the Sheriff's Association, the executive board, chooses a topic that they have to write an essay on. So then that's all submitted. If that student resides in Knox County, that paperwork comes to that sheriff in Knox County. So then that sheriff makes a determination. If it's 20 of them, makes a determination as to who wins. They get a $500 scholarship, which isn't a large amount, but it helps.
Every little bit helps.
Yeah. Yeah. Regulation is that they have to be applying to a state-supported school. They can't be going to USC or anywhere else out of state. And that's probably one of the more important things. But we also support Special Olympics. We have been a huge supporter for the 12 and a half years that I've been sheriff. The other thing is we yearly give, I think it's a five-day class. It's kind of a combination, a leadership class and awareness of narcotics. And it's a very limited, small group, but nonetheless, that word gets out. That shows that, you know, we realize that we're not going to be here forever. So let's help the young generation get a good start and hopefully someday, whether it be a sheriff, chief, or a lawmaker, they've got some background.
Is the system, and is it a statewide system, and is it different from state to state, that here in Illinois, each county has their own sheriff, and then a town might have their own chief? Not all towns. Some communities are too small, but some have their own police chief. Is that the way it is statewide, and is that a state of Illinois thing, or is it similar but could be different in some other states?
Every state has their own sheriff's association. Mm-hmm. It may vary. Like some states, the county does not have the responsibility of a jail.
Okay.
Whereas, obviously, Illinois does have. So, you know, I had the occasion a couple of years ago while in Texas to eat dinner one night with the director of the Colorado Sheriffs. And it was a very interesting evening because that was shortly after Colorado instituted legalization of marijuana. And he was saying one thing for sure, don't allow Illinois to legalize marijuana.
Really?
And then he supported it with lots of information. Every state has an Illinois Sheriff's Association, which the mother organization is the National Sheriff's Association, and which I'm actively involved with that as well, not as active as I am with the Illinois side. But Our annual fees to be members of the Illinois Sheriff's Association helps what it pays the National Sheriff's membership fees as well. So it's a very, very good organization. I would say that through the 46 years of being in law enforcement that the Sheriff's Association is highly recognized in Springfield with the lawmakers as opposed to other organizations.
Knox County Sheriff David Clegg joined us here this morning. He is the new president of the Illinois State Sheriff's Association. You had mentioned that in Illinois, it's that the counties run the jails as well. Is there or each has does every county in Illinois actually have their own jail, or are some of them not populous enough that they might have to use either a city or another county?
I think that there's a couple of counties that have merged due to the financial straits right. that they were having. But other than that, I think we all have our own specific jail.
Yeah, which is interesting, that whole dynamic that the Sheriff's Department runs the jail, and in a community like, or in a county like Knox County, with the big city being Galesburg, and obviously the jail is here, and same thing, you got, you know, Peoria with the county jail, but with the city there, and it's interesting dynamic with so there has to be a whole lot of cooperation, especially in counties like this or Peoria or any, you know, Sangamon County that Springfield's in, wherever there's a big community, the cooperation between the city and county law enforcement.
You know, what's interesting, back in 1974 when I hired on with Galesburg Police Department had a holding cell, and I think there was four or five beds in there. So where an officer would go out and make an arrest, he or she would then come in, actually do the fingerprinting, fill out the form that's required, put them back in that holding area. Every morning at 7 a.m., first shift would transfer, whether it was 1 or 10, over to the county jail. And so then once the Sheriff's Department merged with the public safety building, that was done away with, and we still, you know, when somebody's arrested, whether it's in Galesburg or Knoxville, they take them now directly to the jail.
Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to remember back prior to the public safety building, which obviously housed the jail. Where was the county jail? Was that
right here on South Cherry?
Okay, yes. Across from the Knox campus, basically. Okay, yeah, that's what I was trying to think of, that if that was the last one prior to the public safety building. Okay, yeah. So when was the public safety building built?
1976.
76, okay. And then the new jail's how many years now?
2004.
Oh, four. Okay. So been there for a little while now. Yeah. It seems, for some reason, it seems newer than that, but I'm guessing you, with updates that need to be made, it doesn't seem that new.
Well, and as we're speaking right now, security automation system, which controls all your locks, not only in the cells, but in the hallways, exterior doors, the computers that show, you know, the cameras in the different locations, the booking, that all has been outdated. No longer can get repair parts. So a company from Indianapolis received the bid, and so as of this past Monday at 8 a.m., everything inside that jail is now being manually unlocked.
Really?
Whereas what we call the control room or the bubble, whatever, there's a correctional officer assigned to that each shift, and he or she can hear the buzzer going off at some door, pull it up on the camera, see that it was Dave Clegg wanting to go through, buzzes, and then, you know, there's layers of security within that building. It's a job I would not have. Because it's very hectic, because not only is the 204 intercoms in that building.
Wow.
So each cell is equipped with an intercom for obvious reasons, you know, if they're sick, heart attack, whatever. But typically they'll push that, which goes to the control room. What time is it? And then 5 minutes later, you know, push it again. What time is it?
Yeah.
And you still have to answer.
Right.
I mean, even though you assume what the question is, you still have to answer. So anyway, it's a huge makeover, $150,000. We've got a roof issue that's leaking. We are completely out of storage space and have been since I've been in office.
Wow.
And a lot of our stuff that's being stored is mandated by law to retain it for many, many years. So it is something that I'm sure in the very near future, we're either going to be looking at an add-on, keeping in mind that our maximum bed is 120. Last year, our average daily inmate population was 143.
Oh, my.
You know, it's interesting also that you may have four or five female inmates, and I think we have seven cells. Right now, we've been looking at between 24 and 30 daily.
Wow.
And the State Department of Corrections comes in and does an annual unannounced inspection. We've passed always with flying colors, but now it's been brought to our attention that females cannot be double bunked. So we've got to be making a decision here before long as to what we're going to do.
Wow.
And that's going to be very expensive.
Wow.
Getting back to the mental health issue, I firmly believe, you know, with 31% of our daily population having some form of mental health issue, we need a mental health ward, so to speak. So there's a lot of things that are forthcoming in the very near future.
Knox County Sheriff David Clegg joining us. We're going to take a break here, get an update on news with Nick, and we're going to talk a little bit more about the jail itself and then some other things you're involved in, involved with as well. This is Galesburg Live.
Welcome to WGIL Galesburg Live. Now, this week's host, Tom Meredith.
This is Galesburg Live. I'm Tom Meredith. Glad to have you with us here this morning, talking with Knox County Sheriff David Clegg. We established he is the president of the Illinois Sheriff's Association, among other things that we'll get to. We were talking before the break, Sheriff, about the Knox County Jail and some things. Building's what, going on 15 years old now, some issues with it, but the size and the number of beds. You mentioned that right now you're set for 120 beds. Is there a particular law for the size of a county, the number of beds you can have, or that's just what it was built at? That's the maximum you have available at this point?
That was the maximum.
Okay.
And again, going back to 1974, the old jail, at that particular time, the sheriff's family resided in the jail. And that was over here. It's still standing. I believe Knox College owns it. But it was basically a round pen. And the night that I was introduced, I think they had 12 inmates. So 2 years later, the public safety building is being built, the jail is being built, and it was to house, I believe, 40. And at the time, I'm thinking, there's no way they're going to have 40. It got close, but never were they at max. So in 2004, they're building the jail sheriff's department that we're currently at, 120 beds, and I'm thinking, holy cow.
Need that.
Yeah, what a waste of taxpayers' money. And then we find out 143 was our daily average population last year.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate also, obviously.
Yes, very unfortunate.
Which I guess some of that comes back to dealing with kids and programs for kids, whether it's the Sheriff's Association, and there are a lot more programs. It's nice that we've got some programs here in Galesburg now with the Solutions Program,
right,
through the Y and things like that,
right,
that are getting to kids a little bit younger. So hopefully those numbers are going to start to change, but
yes,
but that's obviously not been the trend over the years.
No, you know, it hasn't been. But the rule of thumb that I was taught back at the Police Training Institute in 1974 was, in your career, if you can help one person, you've done your job. And I think Joey Range has helped by far more than one person. He's done an outstanding job.
Absolutely. And he's perfect for that position.
Yes.
Kids look up to him and everything, literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
It's a great program. So let's talk more about with the jail itself. Like you said, things that need to be done. It's going to be an expensive venture. So you're not where it's at currently. Are you landlocked at this point, or is there...
We've got room to add on.
Mm-hmm.
And again, back when they were building it, the county board at the midnight hour decided not to do what the plans were suggesting. They did away with a pod. A pod is a block of cells, and that would be located on the southwest corner. And so what they ended up doing, the contractor ended up doing, was that with all of the cells that we have, the jail is pretty much a prefab structure, that whether it was immediate or way down the road, we could have prefabbed cells brought in and just hooked and everything would be good. And I think, you know, again, with the mental health issues, I think we need a separate ward. I think we need a separate ward for nonviolent offenders. And I think we need a section for those that are on sick bay. And granted, we're not talking by masses.
Right.
But when you're having to feed medication or checking every so often on the health of an individual, it's nice to have them all in one section where that can be handled. But there again, we're talking more manpower.
Yeah.
And, you know, even though, you know, effectively I think we can do it with a handful of people, we currently have the nursing staff that's there every day of the week, 8 hours a day. And then I think we've got another nurse that comes in for 3 or 4 hours in the evening. We have a psychiatrist that comes in. So we've got the sources coming in. Now let's just unify it to where we don't have to walk a half a mile to get to somebody.
Well, that's the unfortunate thing. It's an expensive proposition, but we've had this discussion before, and we can talk a little more about it. The mental health thing. I mean, I know we've had the discussion. McLean County, it's a multi-million dollar renovation that they did on their jail at the Law and Justice Center, and again, to have just what you're talking about, especially with the mental health separation. And there's even counties that have gone to having mental health court, because you get sometimes habitual offenders to keep coming back. It may or may not be the same crime, and it may not be anything major, but the issue isn't that they're a thief or whatever. It's a mental health issue, and yet they're going to keep ending up the same thing. They're not getting the help they need.
Exactly.
Because that's not what you guys are paid to do or what you're qualified to do either. Yes, you do have a psychiatrist coming in, but there's probably more of a load than a single psychiatrist could handle.
And, you know, the very first couple of times that the psychiatrist showed up, and it was always on a Tuesday night, like at 5 p.m. Those inmates that felt that they needed to see that doctor would fill out a slip. And so, you know, dumb me, I'm thinking maybe 4 or 5 people. I think the very first night there was 15 that signed up. So by law, I guess, that if there's 1 or 25, and if she's only there for a couple hours, she has to stay there until she sees each one.
Wow.
Yeah. And that was a rude awakening. You know, the 708 board, it's been a blessing for us, because that helped with the grant money to help offset the cost for this psychiatrist. Getting over to McLean County, took a tour there about 2 months ago. And, I mean, this process started probably 10 years ago with the sheriff at that time, and then pretty much got the referendum in place and everything in place. And then he retired, and John Sandage, the current sheriff, took over and finally got it up and going. The facility is unbelievable. And I'm thinking, and don't hold me to it, but I'm thinking there was an additional 60 cells, of which 20 or 25 were for mental health. The price tag to that was $39
million. Wow.
And, I mean, that's astronomical.
Yeah.
But there again, it only takes one lawsuit.
Right.
That you wish you'd expended that money to prevent that from happening. And I was talking with Sheriff Sandage here about 2 weeks ago at the Sheriff's Association, and they'd had some mechanical problem, and they were supposed to have been open a month and a half ago. I think as we speak, it's been finally opened.
Well, and it's not a problem that's unique to Knox County or even to counties. It's the prison system as well with the whole mental health thing. It's a really, really huge issue, and which, you know, you also get that to that argument in the gun control debate and the mental health debate. I mean, which that's such a huge part of that whole thing going on as well. So it's not an easy fix, obviously.
No,
and
it's
an expensive fix.
It's a very expensive. And you know, the mental health encompasses such a broad area.
Yeah.
Much like what you're saying, somebody that's a habitual offender of stealing, let's say $20 worth, that's mental health issue. The narcotic abuse, mental health right. issue. The alcoholism, mental health issue. So it's no longer schizophrenics, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
It encompasses a very wide area.
And with the violent offender, too.
Exactly. Yeah. The domestic abuser.
Right.
That's a very good example. And, you know, as you said a little bit ago, jails are not equipped. We are not counselors. We're not psychiatrists. We've got a specific job that we have to do. So then we rely upon outside sources to come in, which carries a price tag. And a lot of that may not have been recognized for the budget. And midterm in the budget, then, you know, we've got this issue and we need somebody. So it is very costly. It's very demanding. And we are by far understaffed in the jail. When you have several people that are needing every 10 minutes to be looked at, to be made sure that there's nothing going on, plus 143 other inmates that you have to check on every 30 minutes, and plus 4,000 people that you're booking in every year, that runs them ragged, and rightfully so.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, like you said, it's costly, but a lot of the stuff, by law, things that you're have to do or going to have to do, and it doesn't make it easy either. Knox County Sheriff David Clegg joining us here this morning. We'll come back with our final segment, talk a little bit more about some issues and some other things that he's involved in. This is Galesburg Live. Good morning. This is Galesburg Live. I'm Tom Meredith. Our guest this morning in our first hour, Knox County Sheriff David Clegg, also the president of the Illinois Sheriff's Association. Before we get to some of the other things you do, Sheriff, I wanted to ask you about the rise in the population. And it's not unique to the Knox County Jail. It's probably all counties here in Illinois and across the country and prisons as well. What is there a factor in particular? I mean, is it the increase in drug abuse, or is it an increase in violent crime, or were the drugs because there are more drugs now than there was at a certain time, or is it kind of a combination of everything, why the increase in population?
I think it's a combination, but I think most law enforcement, most state's attorneys would all agree that it's related to narcotics.
Yeah.
And, you know, we see spikes in the population, and then it kind of goes down for a little bit and then spikes back up again. And most generally, it's narcotics. Because a very old thought is that if I'm a narcotic drug user, abuser, that I don't care if it's my aunt, my uncle, my mother, father, brother, or John Doe citizen, if they've got something that I can utilize to purchase that drug, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, most people have never had... I hope most people have never had the opportunity to sit down with somebody that's addicted to meth and to be able to question them, not criminally, but just to see the process. And you will find that they will say that first puff hooks them.
Yeah.
And you know, the courts can mandate John Doe go to a rehab center, but it's much like smoking. We all know it's wrong. That drug abuser knows it's wrong, but until that mindset is, I need help,
yeah,
you can be sent 20 times and have no value. And it's until that mind says, I need some help, that's when you can get through to them.
Yeah, and that's the one thing we've talked about before, and I understand addiction, but the fact that with all the information out there now, knowing what's in that.
Yes.
Why in the world do you take that first puff? Why would you put that in your body,
right,
knowing what's in there? That's the one that I still have never been able to figure out, but yeah. I guess it's not going to change. I suppose, and when you got into law enforcement, you know, you're talking, yes, alcohol, which the criminally wasn't thought of the same way as it is now, like with the DUI.
Exactly.
But you had pretty much, you know, in a rural area like this, you had pot. And maybe some other things, but then, you know, here you start adding cocaine and then crack cocaine and meth, and now there's all, and even heroin,
yeah,
now. And so you've added all these other elements into the mix,
right,
as well.
And, you know, I think heroin has always been here.
Yeah.
But it was such a minority that used it, you never heard about it.
Yeah.
And now with the ever-increasing popularity of heroin, you know, that's all you hear. Now, there for a while, we were averaging 4 inmates a day that were coming down off of a heroin high. Now, to me, that's an that's an astonishing number.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But now we're back on the side of crystal meth, so which creates a whole different issue internally with that jail. And you know, I'm not saying we don't have a heroin problem, but I'm saying that the meth has been for many years the problem, and it still is today.
And doesn't seem to be going away anytime. I mean, no. as many times as somebody gets busted, there's always somebody else willing to take up that business.
That's right.
And try to be an entrepreneur, and as dangerous as that is, too, just even making the stuff, but that's a whole, we could spend hours on that, too. Knox County Sheriff David Clegg joining us. We established he's the president of the Knox or of the Illinois Sheriff's Association. There's another position, another board you've been on, and this has been through several administrations, several governors here in the state of Illinois. It's been several years ago. You were appointed to the state 911 board, and Governor Pritzker has got you on that again. Talk a little bit about that board and its purpose.
I was appointed by then Governor Quinn back in 2015, I believe it was, and it was kind of a unique board. It was being supervised or ran by politicians, of which three of them were from this area, and at that time, Senator LaHood, Senator Sullivan, and Representative Don Moffitt. But the purpose at that particular time was the existing 911 law sunsetted like July 1st or June 30th. And it was our purpose to devise a new law. So we started meeting 3 or 4 times a month in 2014 towards the end. And starting in February of 2015, for the next 3 months, 5 days a week, we met in Springfield. And we finally got it accomplished. And then, again, it kind of slowed down, but we still had monthly meetings. We still do now. And, again, we've got some issues with the law that we're attempting to change. And, you know, and there again, it's something that people say, well, why are you down in Springfield? 911 is a very critical part in today's society. And come July 1st of 2015, we were no longer going to have 911. So that's my reason for going to Springfield.
Yeah. Well, and with all these also, I mean, if it affects the state of Illinois, it affects Knox County and Galesburg also.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So the 911 board, but then also Governor Pritzker now, you've been added to another board, the Illinois Law Enforcement Training and Standards Board. Talk about that.
That was... you know, again, it only took 46 years to start getting the mind to think. But, you know, there's mandated classes every year for every law enforcement, from the sheriff or the chief right on down, which is great. There's classes that maybe I feel that should be instituted, but maybe you feel differently. And it got to the point where I'm thinking, you know, it's just one voice. But I can at least encompass, you know, West Central Illinois and go from there, because I was the past chairman of the Mobile Training Unit 4 out of East Moline, and that encompasses about 80-some jurisdictions. So I got thinking, by the bylaws, the sheriffs have 3 positions on that board. One of those positions, the sheriff had retired. So I was asked if I'd be interested, and I said, absolutely. So what's kind of unique about it, retired Galesburg Police Chief John Schloff has sat on this board, I would dare say 20 years. So now not only is he represented as the chief, because they too have a position of 3 chiefs, you've got a retired chief and the current sheriff sitting on the same board trying to get the same things accomplished. There's also city managers, mayors, state police. We meet quarterly. It's a 2-day meeting. The last one was up in Chicago, and we've got one coming up in, I believe, in March, and that'll be over. I think that's in Springfield. And the training board has taken... The training board is responsible for all training of law enforcement, from the basic training down at the University of Illinois to the basic training for corrections, which encompasses Sangamon County, St. Clair County, and DuPage County training facilities. What they have reached out and have accomplished, and it's running, up and running, is a new facility in Decatur, Macon County. And that encompasses not only the basic training for law enforcement, it encompasses some advanced training, specialty training. Here shortly, it will also encompass basic training for corrections. And what's unique is one central training for canine. And not only the training aspect of it, but the recertification annually for that canine.
Interesting. And the Macon County thing, that whole story is interesting with Howard Buffett having been the sheriff there, of course, the son of Warren Buffett, and everything yes. he was able to do monetarily. That would be nice to have that on your side, but we don't all have that. But at least it's helping with things in the entire state,
yes.
though.
Absolutely.
Knox County Sheriff David Clegg joining us here this morning. And I suppose also the interesting thing with a board like that, what you're able to do, because I know you're, you know, not only through the Sheriff's Association, but just being a county sheriff, that you're, you know, in contact, whether it's with Chief Christensen or Sheriff Edwards in Warren County, or just all around the area, all the contacts that you talk to people, it's like, and you get suggestions like, here's something, some training I think what we might need, or here's, and on the board, you get that from all over the state. So you guys are able to discuss and say, okay, what do we need? What should we do? What can we do? What's feasible to do?
Right. And a good example was yesterday, following the local 911 meeting, Chief Christensen, Chief Benson from Yates City, Chief from Knoxville, myself met with a new zone commander out of District 7 State Police. Ideas were thrown across the table. You know, what can the state police do to help us? What can we do to help you when you're in our area? And that's beneficial. I mean, no class is going to teach you that. And the same thing holds true on the Illinois Sheriff's Association, is that we are very active. In fact, our director is a lobbyist. And we are very active in the legislative side of today's society. And I know in the first weekend after becoming president, I had over 250 proposed bills to review.
Wow.
And give my opinion to the director of this association. Do we oppose, stay neutral, or agree? I've got an additional 250 as of yesterday afternoon, of which I reviewed over 80 the first part of the week. Now, you can quickly, you know, maybe in the first couple of sentences realize, whoa, we're not in favor of this. But again, you know, during the election, I would say occasionally that you, the citizens, have another voice. I've sat on a legislative committee for the Sheriff's Association for 8 years. I sit on a congressional affairs committee out in National Sheriff's Association in D.C., I'll say 9 years. So you not only hear it from the federal side, you hear it from the state side. We have a huge input with lawmakers. We spent last year at the Capitol one day, 10-hour day, we had arranged of sitting down with key figures, both Republicans and Democrats, senators, representatives, and that was very interesting. And not only interesting, but you know, you felt comfortable eventually sitting down and talking to them. And what we proposed back then and followed through, and we're doing it again, was COP for the Day, where the lawmakers would be invited to at a central place in Springfield, hors d'oeuvres. We had a shoot-don't-shoot simulator, squad cars to make traffic stops. Let them experience it. Because it's easy to sit, whether it's a sheriff and sit in my office, you know, criticize somebody out on the road, or a lawmaker. So we've taken another step now recently. We've got a couple of senators that are in favor of it. I think so many of today's bills that will eventually end up as laws have to deal specifically to Cook County. So why not have that senator, that representative from Cook County, come down to rural Illinois, ride with the deputy,
right?
Sit down with the sheriff, take a tour of the jail. I think they'll get a whole different opinion as to what's going on. In conversely, we then go up to Cook right. County and be with them for a few hours. So, you know, there's a lot of things going on, yeah. and it's only going to benefit the citizens.
Absolutely. Knox County Sheriff David Clegg joining us here this morning, our first hour, Galesburg Live. Sheriff, as always, appreciate your input, and thank you for everything you're doing for our community.
Well, thank you for having me, and I appreciate it very much.